Zelengo. This is Kanadi Kentaco. What you're about to hear is a Human Rights Radio Network exclusive presentation that was first aired Saturday, March 9, 2002 at 11:30 p.m. entitled The Human Rights Patrol Part 63, Pigs Part 3. Your host will be out of the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, runaway slave, Kaka and Bana Kentaco. Have a pleasant flight.
Big time debt. He knows his lies can't help him. Truth's our weapon. We'll People's Choice, Human Rights Radio, giving praise to our uncreated creator for allowing us to be with you for our 4,645th day and night of broadcasting in the place to be with we, out of the criminal enterprise called Springfield, Illinois. Is war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force Elementary Sensation war correspondent, Dadak Nadikantako, and Zalango to you over there.
Zalango.
That's the co-producer of the Human Rights Patrol, and you're going to remind the folks what volume we is ready to get into tonight.
63.
And we're dealing with the issue, as you heard Warrior say in an introduction, called pigs. But before we do that, we got to give a shout out to the brave folks who listen and make it possible for so many folks to listen to the Human Rights Patrol across the criminal enterprise called the United States and around the planet Earth.
First, let's say Zalango to Human Rights Radio at 94.3 FM with Kaka Inko Yahuru and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Decatur, Illinois at 99.9 FM, Human Rights Radio, brung by Brother Lavelle. Also, to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP in the criminal enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California, with Kaka Michael Hibbert and the crew. And at 96.3 FM in the criminal enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and their staff. Let us also shout out to the folks who listen to Berkeley Liberation Radio, brung by Paul Griffin and the crew. And also to the folks who listen in Dade County, Florida at 102.9 FM through the efforts of the runaway indentured servant, Zalango. And don't forget, you can also find us on the World Wide Web at www.radio.about.com. When the page opens up, click on the Human Rights Information Network or check our homepage here at Human Rights Radio. You will find us at www.humanrightsradio.net. There you will find many human rights links. And at this time, let me remind you, wherever you're listening, to thank those who made it possible.
In fact, when it comes to the websites, check out the About. When it comes to the websites, I sent turn my microphone and everything off. When it comes to that, let's check out the about.com site, check out the Human Rights Radio website, and well, you'll find there's links to, you know, links from our homepage to all those sites and all those other things you've heard her talk about in the day here at Human Rights Radio, Dr. Brock's website and things like that. You won't be disappointed when you check out humanrightsradio.net. Right. Dada Kanata, you're going to be black with us in a few to help us, you know, keep this program going in the right direction and things like that. So I shot at you then. Cool. All right. Well, you know, we're talking about pigs tonight, and this is why we always want to take time to remind y'all about the folks that make it possible for so many folks to hear the Human Rights Patrol across the planet Earth and stuff. Because, you know, we present our programming in a way that, you know, obviously you ain't heard it in a lot of places too much. And the way we present it, you know, we don't be trying to play with you, you know, because it ain't nothing to play about. People's lives are too significant than to do an oh, by the way thing when it comes to, you know, clarifying what's going on around us. And that's what our elders taught us. We got to learn to define and decode what's happening around us so we can make it act in a more desired way, because the show ain't been acting in a good way for about 11 generations for our folks. So this here program is one of those that really tests the resolve of those who want to get information to folks, because we're talking about something that most folks is scared to death of, and that's talking about the pigs. You know, I know you get a traffic ticket, you ain't worried about the court that sent it to you. You worry about the pig that's going to arrest you on the warrant if you don't show up for the hearing. That's what you're tripping on. And they've done that for quite some time. Before I do the program, I want to share something with all, especially Africans, because that's who I try to talk them to. And anybody else want to learn, I can't, you know, obviously the forum that we're using to communicate the information can't restrict who listens. But I can tell you that I'm directing this to the folks that I know I have shared experiences with in this land. And those are the ones that I feel like are best help clarify some things for. And one of those things, you know, Africans, you know, their fear of the pigs is like, it's like deep down. You had this dream where you be like wherever, doing whatever, and then all of a sudden fear grip you like you ain't never felt it before. I mean, like you ain't never felt it. I mean, it's like it overwhelms you and you can't scream, you can't do nothing and stuff. And you know, I think it was 95, I have to check for sure. But one of those, 93 or 95, I was 93 probably. I was in the Good Negro program. Every now and then they let me out of the criminal enterprise called Springfield, see if I'm going to act right, you know what I'm saying? And they sent me up to the University of Iowa, and we spoke up there in a couple places for a couple days. And I was relating this dream to the group I met. One group I met with, there was like 15 folks in the room, 3 Zungu, Swahili, I mean white folks, but I ain't going to say white folks because they think they're better than us. If I say white, you'll think it means what the dictionary say about white. But anyhow, and then there was 12 Africans in the room. And I was relating this dream, you know, about how you there and this thing go, and then you get this fear. Well, I think it was 9 of the 12 Africans said they had a dream. And I even got the tape of this. And one of the Zungu said they had a dream. So, you know, when I got back, I had to stay in the dream, man. I had to, because usually you try to wake up because you think you're going to die or something. Your heart going to like bust or something. So when I got back, I said, I'm going to stay in this dream. I'm going to find out what it is that's got everybody so scared. And I'm going to tell you what it was. When all the drama broke down, I was staring at a door that resembled the doors of the housing project we were staying in at the time called the Hayes Home. And the fire was all over the door. And then the fire started going down because the door had been kicked in. And it was falling from the very top toward the floor, you know, like a wall falling, right? And coming through the door was the pigs. Black pigs first, white pigs second. And that's what you all scared of, and I know it is. Because, see, when they wrote the Constitution, they knew dang on well we wouldn't accept slavery. So Article 4, Section 2, they said anybody held in slavery or servitude. You know, held meaning you ain't going to be wanting to be there. Somebody going to be holding you there. You say you can't escape. You know, no matter where you go, they said they're going to track you down, and that's where the pigs came out of. And still today, they serve the interest of the group that set them up. That's right. They serve the interest of the group that set them up. How do they serve them? Remember that little thing they did back in the day? How did she die? She died like this. Well, that's how do they serve the ones that brung the 5-0? They serve them like this. They do little things like today. Check this out. Pigs.
In upstate New York, two police officers are on trial, accused of paying off their informants with crack cocaine. Here's NBC's chief law correspondent, Dan Abrams.
They were two of the top police officers on the Schenectady, New York police force, drug busters, well known for their impressive numbers when it came to arrests. But now federal prosecutors say it wasn't just good police work, that Lieutenant Michael Hamilton and Patrolman Nick Massera were actually paying informants with drugs confiscated during busts, falsifying police reports, and that they ultimately tried to hinder an FBI investigation.
There's absolutely no doubt in my mind I'll be found not guilty.
You know, I believe in the justice system, and I think justice will prevail.
Two other former police officers, Richard Barnett and Michael Seiler, were also charged after the two-year federal probe. Barnett pled guilty last year, Seiler this summer.
He shook down a drug dealer in Schenectady, New York, and on that very same day, stole the drugs from that drug dealer and turned those drugs over and distributed them to one of his informants.
Barnett and Seiler now hope to reduce their sentences by cooperating with the government. They're expected to testify against their former colleagues. In the first week of the trial, the tables turned. A one-time informant now informing on Officer Hamilton, saying he was, quote, giving me drugs. But like others expected to testify, she had been a drug addict with an admitted $400 a day crack habit, her memory foggy about times and dates. Hamilton's lawyer has called it the case of career criminals versus Michael Hamilton.
I want to get Mike Hamilton, and Nick Massera for that matter, back on the streets of Schenectady wreaking havoc on these drug dealers.
But for now, Hamilton and Massera are suspended with pay. Their trial expected to last through the middle of January. Dan Abrams, NBC News, New York.
You know the only thing in every community in this country? Cracking the pigs. That's the only thing in every community in this country, crack in the pigs. Well, the pigs sound like a hell of a delivery system to me, don't it? Huh? Now, you know that's what that's all about. And they got more than pigs controlled by that. They strung out than anything else, man. The boy don't care what you do as long as he got you in, you know, doing his business, you know? And our people got to comprehend this. You know and I know that drugs is not illegal. You know that. Did you know that in slavery they fed you cocaine? It made you more sexually active, and that made you a more diligent breeder. Isn't that something to think about, right? Yeah. So, you know, that whole war on drugs, and of course they can get the pigs to prostitute it because from the get-go they know what their real work is, harass and help contain African people. You cannot get past Article 4, Section 2, Clause 3 of the Constitution. That's why those of us that's doing the reparations thing, we just like using the Constitution. We ain't studying that stuff about Conoco oil and all that mess, man. We're talking about the United States government. Oh, anybody that messed over us going to pay. But we straight stepping to Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam going to name who messed over us, because that's kind of chump he is, okay? Now, one of the things you got to know about the 5-0, man, in every community, I don't know anybody that I've talked to that's been in the research, that in my own activity in a town as small as Springfield, you can't sell hot dogs without permission, okay? And how long would it take you to make money selling hot dogs? A long time. Well, look at the return on crack, man, please. It's a chemically based drug. You know what I'm saying? Chemically based meaning that in order to have it, you got to have chemicals like hydrochloric acid, sulfuric acid, acetone, stuff like that. Stuff you can't buy unless you got a license to make, to mix chemicals of that nature. Because those chemicals, some of them will eat the surface off of metal. And so, and like the DEA says, and I think you all follow those, what war on drugs we did in this here Human Rights Patrol series here. Right, check out those couple war on drugs. I don't remember the names off top. I think it's around 49 or 50, something like that, volumes in the Human Rights Patrol. But where we talk about the DEA, well, let the DEA tell you how they can trace every bag of dope they pick up. So that's a big lie. And you know, the devils, they so low-lifed and dirty, they'll tell you that, you know, that whole drug thing is a big lie. One of the things I want to get to before I go on to that, every time you hear a story about a pig doing something dirty, they always say that's a bad one. But man, if you drive by and see one brother stretched out in the street, you swear every young black man in the world is a criminal. And you swear every time you see a black man with the pigs that the black man got a gun. But do you realize less than 2% of all arrests, according to the government, less than 2% of all arrests involve a gun, and 80% of the time it's a white boy over 18 with the gun? Oh, my goodness. I love this, and I know every time I start talking about pigs in the criminal enterprise called Springfield, they hold their breath because they know I got tape on them. And I think it's best that they worry about it more so than actually hear anything I might say. And they're going to worry anyway. But in the 80s, they had an article in the local paper, the State Urinal Register, to the pigs that might want to get sympathetic or get fearful about whose side they were supposed to be on, right? And it was a good cop, bad cop cartoon in the paper. The bad cop was laying on the ground with a bullet in his head. His whole head was all shot up and stuff. The good cop was standing above him, blowing off his barrel of his pistol. So they know. Remember, the program, last pigs program we did in the Human Rights Patrol, we pointed out, or they pointed out, that you stand a 10 times greater chance of being killed by suicide as a pig than you do in the line of duty. Right? Right? Remember? The last report in 1999 was 41 killed in the line of duty, where 400 had killed themselves, 90% of them using their own gun, proving that the lies don't play when you don't talk when you're told not to talk. All right, that was there on the East Coast, right, where the pigs was doing the dirt, right? And they always say, oh, that's a bad one. Let's go down to where GW and them state is, the Lone Star State, where GW and the Little Bush and them showed the pigs they can do anything they want down there, right? Brown people, they don't
like
them either.
We're going to take a closer look tonight at accusations of corruption in a big city police department. In Dallas, officers are suspected of planting fake drugs and making unwarranted arrests. 39 innocent people were arrested with the help of a richly paid informant. It would not be the first case of corruption and drugs at a big city police department by any means. In the 1990s, half of all police officers convicted for corruption were caught in drug-related cases. ABC's Mike Von Fremd is in Dallas tonight.
Yvonne Gwynn manages an auto repair shop in Dallas. She had never been accused of a crime. And then last August, she was charged with selling $500,000 worth of cocaine. Yvonne insists the drugs were planted in this car by the Dallas police.
I want my record clean. It's hurting me. I'm innocent 100%.
Gwynn is one of 39 people arrested last year in what was hailed as the most successful undercover drug operation in Dallas history. Dallas police showed hundreds of pounds and millions of dollars worth of powdered cocaine, which they said was seized from alleged drug dealers. But months later, police laboratory tests revealed a shocking discovery. None of this is cocaine. It's gypsum, powdered sheetrock, used in home construction. In fact, nearly half the cocaine seized by the Dallas Police Department last year is fake.
I don't know if we're talking about bad police officers. I don't know if we're talking about bad confidential informants or both. Something's not right.
Those arrested were Hispanics. Mechanic Jesus Mieja, father of three, was imprisoned for 5 months.
Se enojaron porque pregunté muchas veces.
He said he asked several times, you know, why are you taking me in? Why are you taking me in? And they told him to shut up.
They were all arrested by the same two police undercover agents working with a paid informer who received over $200,000 for turning over information on suspected drug dealers. In January, the district attorney dismissed all charges.
These cases have raised questions in the mind of the public that reflect not just on police procedures, but on the integrity of the entire criminal justice system.
They could have faced up to 99 years in prison, but all have now been released from jail.
Congratulations. I thought you would get here. Thank you.
As they begin to put their lives together, the FBI has begun an investigation into this police department. Mike Von Fremd, ABC News, Dallas.
Half of the drugs seized in Dallas in 2001 was fake? Well, did half the people that got arrested for drug charges get let loose? Psych, never that. That's what you call high-tech lynching, scaring the hell out of people. In the criminal enterprise called Springfield, I think every week or so, they put people in the paper, put their picture in there for stuff like failure to appear for stealing a T-shirt, failure to appear for driving and not using a turn signal at 3 in the morning when nobody was on the street but you. And they're putting people's picture in the paper. This is called terrorism, y'all. And they got the nerve to be talking about Bin Laden. Well, let's go on back down south again.
The police chief of Montgomery, Alabama, today recommended firing several more police officers. It is the latest fallout from a brutality investigation that has shaken the community and led to a growing shakeup in police ranks. CBS's Mark Strassman is in Montgomery.
Right here. Yes, sir. He makes me, like, right over here.
Behind this high school, 17-year-old Billy Holloway was maced and repeatedly beaten. But the lasting bruise and deepening scandal belongs to Montgomery, Alabama's police department.
What these officers did tarnished not only my badge, but every badge of every law enforcement officer in this country, just like the impact that the Rodney King case had on us.
And then I felt more punches and kicks.
Holloway says after a routine traffic stop, he began arguing with Officer Michael Clark. Handcuffed and driven in the cruiser behind the school, the alleged police brutality began.
The car and threw me on the hood of the car and, like, punched me and kicked me and stuff.
Holloway taunted Clark to take off his handcuffs. Clark obliged.
As soon as he took off the handcuffs, he maced me.
And the beating resumed in earnest.
I didn't think they were going to let me live.
Now Montgomery is shocked by more allegations against some officers working the overnight shift. Charges that for months now, they have beaten suspects, planted evidence, and bought drugs. Eight officers, including Clark, have resigned in disgrace. Today, Montgomery's police chief recommended three more officers be fired, including Gerald Davis.
I was scared. I didn't know if these guys would retaliate against me, if I would have spoke against them.
Montgomery's civil rights history includes a dark legacy of white officers beating black suspects. But Chief Wilson, still investigating, believes his bad cops were rogues, not racists.
They were subjecting people to their own form of justice. They appointed themselves judge, jury, and executioner all in one fell swoop.
Holloway still faces juvenile charges for assaulting an officer, but some Montgomery police may be facing serious jail time. Mark Strassman, CBS News, Montgomery, Alabama.
I know the Buckwheats and Aunt Jemima saying, oh, there were some bad ones down there. If we had one story about one little brother falling for the game, you would say all black young men should be dogged out or something, right? But story after story about these low-life to no-count pigs, and all you can say is, I ain't scared of them. Well, why are you acting in such an unnatural way?
A federal appeals court today threw out the convictions of three New York City police officers in a case that drew widespread national attention. The case involved a brutal police assault and charges of civil rights violations. CBS News correspondent Randall Pinkston reports on today's decision and the legal and emotional impact.
It was a stunning decision for a city that thought it had put this controversial case behind it.
Well, I'm ecstatic. I mean, this is what we've been fighting for 2.5 years.
Officer Charles Schwartz and two other officers were convicted of obstruction of justice in the 1997 police station attack on Haitian immigrant Abner Louima. Schwartz was also convicted of violating Louima's civil rights for allegedly holding him down while he was sodomized with a stick. But the appeals court threw out the obstruction convictions because of insufficient evidence and today ordered a new trial for Schwartz, who remains in prison.
He knows he doesn't belong there. He's innocent. And it was just a terrible waste, a waste of life.
Police officer Justin Volpe pled guilty to attacking Luima and is serving 30 years in prison. The case triggered months of protests, becoming synonymous with police brutality. The department was tainted with accusations of cover-up. Luima, who now lives in Miami, shuns the spotlight.
No comment at this time.
His attorney says Luima will cooperate with federal prosecutors in a new trial.
He has suffered as a victim, perhaps the worst case of police abuse and police brutality in the history of this country, and he wants to live his life.
Since September 11th, some say New York is a more united city. But today's court ruling threatens to reignite the bad old days of racial division.
This could mean that they have let these people walk on one of the ugliest, most pathetic, and certainly sick crimes that we've seen in the history of this city.
The appeals court ruling will not affect the $8.5 million settlement Luima received from the city and the police union. Randall Pinkston, CBS News, New York.
Yeah, and you know, Brother Diallo, he ain't coming back from them 41 shots they put in him, right? Oh, that was a bad pick. They're going to let him off because they're terrorizing you with this kind of drama. So you African people going to have to decide if you're going to keep on submitting to this kind of nonsense or you're going to get about the business of human rights, which takes you away from fearing anything, man. When you're in the human rights, you don't fear nothing. See, that's one thing that you get over, you know what I'm saying? Because to be in the human rights, you got to mature to the point where you know there's a greater power than these scrubs. But I ain't going to argue with you about it. I'm going to tell you that's what we get our strength from. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, going to call upon Kanadi to shout out to the folks that make it possible for so many of you to hear the Human Rights Patrol across the criminal enterprise called the United States and around the planet Earth. But before she does that, I'm going to ask her to share with you an article that, you know, everything they do has a consequence. All these stories that we share with you has been on the Devil's News within the last year here from March 9, 2002, when we put this program together. And the Luima story, that came out in the week of March the number, before 2002. So that is a real deal, done deal, okay? And what they trying to do, they trying to terrorize folks. Did it work? Well, let's pick up the New York Times, September 1st, 2002. The title of the article?
Report shows Americans have more labor days by Stephen Greenhouse.
Get this article because it basically points out that y'all the best slave population on the planet Earth. You work three and a half weeks longer than the Japanese people do a year. Six and a half weeks longer than even the British do. And they be dogging them out. Awesome. It confirms what Mortimer Zuckerman said in that Foreign Affairs article in 98, when he said, Africa is hopeless. Them people, they is too much caring about each other. They help each other too much, so we can't slay the hell out them. The Asians, they trying to be like them Africans. They get on our nerves with that mess. That's why we had to run up out of Japan, right? They said, now, but Zuckerman said in 98, the best labor force we got on the earth is where? Where? What would you think, Kanadi? Where's the best labor force on the planet Earth? Now, remember, the best labor force is the what labor force for the folks in charge? Cheapest,
right.
Right, where they say it is?
In the U.S.
You dang on right, man. You dang on right. Work them like dogs, and all they got to do is keep putting the story in the paper about the pigs sticking sticks up people's booty and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to work. I don't want to go to the Tower of London, that's for sure. Right?
Right.
Yeah, that's how they do that. We want to shout out to those stations that make it possible for so many folks to hear the Human Rights Patrol across the criminal enterprise called the United States and around the planet Earth.
We're going to say Zelengo.
They have nerve, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because we don't be playing.
We're going to say Zelengo to Human Rights Radio at 94.3 FM with Kaka Inko Yahuru and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Decatur, Illinois, at 99.9 FM, Human Rights Radio, Brown by Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP in the criminal enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California, with Kaka Michael Hibbett and the crew. And at 96.3 FM in the criminal enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and their staff. Let us also shout out to the folks who listen to Berkeley Liberation Radio, brought by Paul Griffin and the crew. And also to the folks who listen in Dade County, Florida, at 102.9 FM through the efforts of the runaway indentured servant, Zelengo. And don't forget, you can also find us on the World Wide Web at www.radio.about.com. When the page opens up, click on the Human Rights Information Network or check our homepage here at Human Rights Radio. You will find us at www.humanrightsradio.net. There you will find many human rights links. And at this time, let me remind you, wherever you're listening, to thank those who made it possible.
That's right. Thank those folks, because those folks got nerve. You know what I'm saying? And if you want more Human Rights Radio programming in your area, talk to those folks about that, because it's available. All they got to do is get a hook up with us, right? All right, can I, another scholarly mission, appreciate the assistance. We're in the studios with us tonight out of the Criminal Enterprise, God, Springfield, Illinois, is war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, co-producer of the Human Rights Radio co-creation. We call the Human Rights Patrol. I'm talking about Dada Kanadi Kentaco. I'm in Panic Kentaco. We're in our 4,645th day and night of broadcasting here in the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois at 106.7 FM. And I'm in Banner, Kentucky. And there is no question about it by now. No matter where you're at, you do know that you are listening to the people's choice. Because the people choose to listen to the Human Rights Radio Information Network.
We will remember the humanity.
We will remember the humanity.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
We will strive to bring new values.
We will strive to bring new values.
And new life to our people.
And new life to our people.
We will have peace and harmony among us.
We
will be loving.
We will be sharing.
And creative.
We will work.
Study.
And listen.
So we may learn.
Learn so we may teach.
We will cultivate self-reliance. We will struggle to resurrect and unify our homeland. We will raise many children for our nation.
We will have discipline, patience, devotion, and courage.
We will live as models.
To provide new direction for our people.
We will be free and self-determining.
We are African people.
Aluta!
Aluta!
Continua!
Continua!
Kufala!
Kufala!